Desmond, can you make full day for us and open our meeting?
Sure. Aloha kakahi a ka kako. Aloha. Puri kato, te mea hopea e ere wai, hui e te mea whawhaore. O te mau mea moa, a tatou e whahiti te te ia nei. O te pura ia, o te parao no te parao mau. Iasu ia parao I tano metua, roto I te pure. Maruru o te atua, maruru o te atua. Ine atua mea matua. Maruru te ore matua hare mai tauturu. Me vehi I vitupuna. Amene.
Amene.
E dei.
Can we please do a roll call and announce any Barra members and our SHIP-D staff? Go ahead, Uncle Norman.
Norman Kaimoloa, representing Kona.
Cooper Kapono, Hilo.
Yes, man. Hold me up. Ka'u.
Lena Blakemore, representing Puna. President Kea, do you want to unmute and announce yourself?
Did Uncle Scott?
Oh, sorry, Scott Mahoney, go.
Kia Kapito Burial Site Specialist, SHPT.
We do my hair.
Crystal Murad, Burial Site Specialist, SHPD.
Aloha. Yeah, I'm a Kamalaka Pele, a community member, family from the Ka'u Honuapo, Iona area.
Excuse me, do we have the AG's office introduce herself?
Good morning, Cindy Young, Deputy Attorney General.
Thank you.
I love for being here. Thank you. Okay, well, I guess we can look at our minutes and review the minutes and someone can make a motion to accept them or we can discuss.
I move to accept.
We have a second?
I second.
Who seconded?
Got.
Any discussion?
Nope.
Let's call for the vote on all those in favor of accepting the minutes from last month's October HIBC meeting. Say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? It has passed to accept our minutes. In our business, the first is to recognize a descendancy. I wanted to ask Kea, because there were some kind of interesting good things that happened last month after our last meeting, if you want to give us an update on the follow-up of the descendancy that I know Uncle Desmond went and paid a visit. Anyway, do you have Kea? Do you want to comment on that and give us a quick update before we move into this business?
Yeah, so for this particular item, Mary Larietta Paris, I think in previous meetings, she was unable to attend the meetings. And so the council has been deferring her application until more, either she could attend or I think at the last meeting, it was agreed that if one of the council members, which was Uncle Desmond, if you could talk story and have a conversation with her, then you know, to collect more information, then that might be sufficient. So I believe I got an email from Uncle Desmond saying that he was able to contact her. I'm not sure. I don't see her.
I think we might have lost Kia. Oh, there you are.
Oh.
Kalina.
Can you see me?
All other people on Zoom didn't, you didn't recognize them. There's other people on Zoom. Lokilani, Kelani.
I know what we were doing with roll call is just announcing who the burial council members are that are present and the staff of Ship D. That's why Uncle. we can see their names and I think they'll be recorded in the minutes for next month, but they don't have to introduce themselves. But I appreciate you being there, Juana, and speaking up. I think when people come up for testimony, they'll be able to say their name then.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Uncle. Yeah, did you have anything you wanted to say, or should we go ahead and move forward?
Oh, yeah, sorry. I don't know if I was getting cut off and what was the last thing you guys heard me say, but yeah, I think just to kind of catch everybody up, Uncle Desmond was going to
coming and broken up and frozen, so I didn't hear anything you had to say. Good, somehow.
Yeah. Okay, I guess we'll go ahead and move forward then. This business A, descendancy recognition application of Mary Larisha Paris Whittington to unidentified Native Hawaiian skeletal remains located within SIHP 50-10-74-24403 and -24407 Hi'ona'a Ahupua'a Ka'u District, Island of Hawaii, TMK 3, 9-5-014017. Information, discussion, and determination. Whether to recognize the applicant as a cultural descendant to unidentified Native Hawaiian skeletal remains at the above location. The council may elect to go into executive session pursuant into HAR 13-300-25. The council may close the meeting whenever location or description of Native Hawaiian burial site is under consideration. The chairperson, by concurrence of a majority of members present at the meeting, shall be authorized to require the public to leave the meeting while the confidential matter is being discussed and reopen the meeting once the confidential matter is no longer being considered. Is Mary here today? Is there an update on her interview that you had, Uncle Desmond?
Yeah, good morning, aloha. I thought she was here earlier. Yeah, we spoke last week. Well, actually, we spoke twice. I just verified her identification. She sent me a couple of documents. So we did practice last week, and I'll try to contact her again. Yeah, that's all I have about that for now.
So I'm not sure if, but were you able to confirm her genealogy? If you could speak for her on her behalf, should we go ahead and approve her as a cultural descendant?
Because I interviewed her, maybe a motion should come from one of the other board members. But yes, I did verify that.
Thank you.
You know, I wanted to add, you know, I questioned how come she never did contact her family members. Yeah. So she's recently redoing her mo'ohuauhau, and I think it's a granddaughter that's helping her with that. So she did reach out to those families and make contact. And so I told her it's not our concern, it's more for her to make connection with her family. So yeah, that's it.
Does anyone want to make a motion to approve her?
Well, I want to ask Desmond a question. Has she ever been to the site?
Oh no, I was.
No, I mean, has she ever been to the site?
No, I didn't ask her that. I wanted her to be at the meeting.
Oh so yeah, sorry. I want to ask her that today, but I don't know where she went. But okay, thanks.
So.
So we should make a motion that we accept Mary Paris as cultural descendant.
I will second that if I can. I'm not sure if I can, Cindy.
Isn't there discussion on this?
Yes, that comes right after it gets seconded. Thank you, Mr. Capone. Any discussion?
I have a question. Speaking to the contentious situation from the last meeting, that there is dispute over Ms. Paris' participation, and it seemed to me, what I gathered, was that her lack of appearance before the council is what brought this whole issue forward. So she continues to evade and not to show up. I don't think we've resolved the issue that's created this contentious situation. I see it as that the problem is she's not showing up to testify before the council, and this creates a problem within the family. I haven't interviewed, spoken to any of these people. I'm just speaking to the process. And if we here as the council are here to enforce the process for a predictable positive outcome within the statute, it's still up in the air. And I don't see how we can vote and put something aside when the basic issue is her lack of appearance before the council. And she continues to evade that responsibility. That's all I have to say.
Yes, Uncle Des.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I made it clear to her that she has to appear, that we cannot do it by phone or Zoom. So I made it clear to her that she had to attend today. I agree with that.
Scott?
Yeah, also, it was already determined by the Deputy Attorney General that these people do not have to show up. They go through the process through SHPTE, prove the genealogy, and then they apply for cultural or lineal. So, you know, that's why I don't know why Mary had to show up, but I'm glad Desmond went out there and actually met with her, because that was a good connection for us. But as far as they personally showing up, I want to ask the Attorney General right here, are they mandatorily have to show up, or can they just apply?
There's no legal There's no legal requirement that an applicant appear before you if they submit sufficient evidence, or, you know, information and evidence that they are a cultural descendant in this case. Then you can vote on the motion. If you want to hear from her, you can, but really the determination is based on the criteria that's set forth in your rules, right? The definition of a cultural descendant, whether they meet that definition and the provision in the rules that pertain to cultural descendants.
Thank you.
Uncle Norm?
Yeah, we've been going up on this subject for a long time, and I'm an advocate for them to be present at a meeting, whether Zoom or in person, simply for the reason, you know, if we start letting one person not have to show up and just put on paper, you know, sign a piece of paper and send them into SHPTE, then, you know, hey, change the rules so nobody need to show up. Just put them down there. They come to the on the agenda, and then we just vote. We don't need to see them. No need to show up. Change the rules. You know? Change the rules. But I like to see their face. I like to see their eyes. I like to see the passion. If somebody wants something, you got to be passionate. You know what I mean? For one thing, I give Desmond Haumea a lot of credit for going out of his way to meet this lady. And, you know, he did tell her, like he said, she got to show up. But she still never showed up, you know? And I don't know. The process is, she get a person has three chances to present themselves at a meeting or not, the application is declined, and they got to go through the paperwork again. If she wants to go through the paperwork again, hey, so be it. But not change the rules. Let's not change the rules. You know, rules are rules. And, you know, if they're not passionate, forget it.
That's what the Attorney General just said. That is the rule. They don't have to show up. So that's the rule.
Well, nobody show up there.
I think the response.
Yeah, well, that's the rule then.
Uncle Des wanted to speak next.
Yeah, no, I need to apologize. Kalamai, I should have really broke it down. My interview with Mary Paris is not my fault. I just assumed that. So let me break it down. I did go all over all of the rules that the Attorney General shared the last time, and following the rules. I always believe we live in two kauhale. We get outside here and then we get inside here. So I did explain to her that the rules does not require her to show up. In a way of healing, in the practice of our kupuna, alo he alo. For us to work with our evi kupuna, my na'au has to feel good, yeah? I cannot just do this job and be really in the other kauhale. We gotta bring the two together. So I did speak to her in a Western sense, in the view of our Attorney General. Then I spoke to her, I shared with her in a traditional sense that for me, traditionally, I like to see the face. But I did explain to her that she's not required by law to show up. That's why I asked for the vote from someone else, so there can be a discussion. Again, I apologize for not being clear of my interview with Ms. Paris. One thing that I did find, that we discovered, I think half of Kau is her family. It's ridiculous. You know, I mean, it predating, I think. So she has a bikuliana if you're gonna contact her family. And I explained to her that our only concern is there's other people that has filed for their particular district. I explained to her that, I asked her why she didn't connect with those families. She was only aware of it. She has tried, she's getting back. But no fault of our kupuna for their wonderful hanai system. So the aka lines may have been severed at one point or another, but they're trying to reconnect that. So her kuleana to alohe alo with her ohana is huge. And I'm glad she has mo'opuna. Unfortunately, from Kamehameha schools. I just was joking, yeah. Yeah. But I made it very clear to her in the interview that there are rules that we follow and we're gonna adhere to those rules. But in a traditional sense, alo he alo. For me, traditionally, I would like to see her, which I did. And in the Western world, based on our Attorney General's statement, she doesn't have to show up.
What?
The minutes reflect Ms. Paris' participation on the basis that she petitions to be a cultural descendant. And in this particular platform, the burial plan, which I think council will verify, it translates to a mitigation plan, one of the alternative dispute resolution options. And as a cultural descendant, She doesn't have as much influence as a lineal descendant. So I would just say that to Brother Norman that, you know, I understand exactly what you're saying. For the people who are going to testify, we're going to rule, that are going to impact a lot of families, that we have to have those facts before us. But what she's petitioning for is like a second position. It's not really a primary position as a cultural descendant. And so that with that, I would want to retract any type of opposition that I would have for this woman. And I particularly think in this case, having reviewed this from my own mind, I would support her petition to be recognized as a cultural descendant. That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? Scott, did you have something you wanted to add?
No, my only concern with people showing up is a lot of these people are Kupuna, and I'm sure Desmond knows once he met her that she is sincere. She is sincere about being a cultural. It's just, you know, I seen her on this thing earlier, and, you know, she disappeared. Viola called me. He's still trying to get on. He hasn't been able to get on. So the point is this. A lot of these people are Kupuna. A lot of these people are not akamai to the tech part of Zoom and all that stuff. So it's hard for them to show up, you know. So legally, as far as the recommendation from the Attorney General, they don't have to show up. So I don't see why we have to even think of penalizing anybody that cannot make it to these meetings. As long as they justify the genealogy, we should be. That's all I have to say. Thanks.
Mahalo. I wanted to add my mana'o to this. Chris had interviewed her, I think, 2 months ago. Right. And she was approved then, but because she was unable to attend our meeting for, probably because she couldn't figure out the Zoom technology, we were going to go off of that. And so we decided not to approve her then. And then it came up last month that someone should go interview her. And thank you, Uncle Des, for going out there and bringing that to light and confirming. She is a Whittington. I know there's a Whittington Park down there named after her family. Uncle Desmond said that she's related to most all the people in Ka'u. And she's asking for a cultural descendancy recognition, not the lineal, which is more, puts you at a different level of making decisions. So I personally feel like we can go ahead and make that vote if we want to. I feel okay about it.
Just one real quick point, Ekalamai. I think she was advised to go cultural, if I'm not mistaken. She may have been advised to go cultural. I don't know, maybe Kerr can correct that, or Chris. And then later on, as she can establish your descendant. I don't know. I don't know, really know the process. But that's it. I think she was, yeah.
Yes, Scott.
Yeah, I'll ask a little bit of a question. I'm looking at this barrel treatment plan and this list of contacts made. I don't think any of these people are anything but cultural, right? There's no leader on this whole list, right?
That's correct. These are.
Lupilani, you got your.
I hear you, Loke.
Your audio is off.
What about now?
Yeah.
Now it's good.
This thing is useless. So everybody that we consulted with for the Hiona'a burial treatment plan was for cultural descendancy because we didn't have any detailed records identifying the skeletal remains for a particular individual. So these were just unidentified.
Okay, thank you.
We all feel like we've discussed this and want to call for the vote.
Call for the vote.
All right. All those in favor of recognizing Mary Lucretia Paris Whittington as a cultural descendant to this Ahupua'a, all say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? The motion passes. Thank you, guys. Okay, our next one is descendancy, item B, descendancy recognition application of Keawe Ke Alapai to unidentified human skeletal remains located in Oma'a Oma'a to Ahupua'a, North Kona District. TMK 37-3-007-038 and 37-3-009-007, information, discussion, determination, whether to recognize the applicant as a lineal descendant to Native Hawaiian skeletal remains at the above location. The applicant was previously recognized on October 15, 2020 as a cultural descendant. The council may elect to go into executive session pursuant to HAR 13-300-25. The council may close a meeting whenever location or description of a Native Hawaiian burial site is under consideration. The chairperson, by concurrence of a majority of members present at the meeting, shall be authorized to require the public to leave the meeting while a confidential matter is being discussed and reopen the meeting once the confidential matter is no longer being considered. So we have a testimony. And do we have more information on the relationship to the burial?
Oh, hello. Hi there.
Yeah, aloha. Oh,
aloha. Hello. Gabby. But I'll make this confess, as I guess the last time I never understand was the situation. So I guess I'm going for lineal descent. And so should I pronounce my genealogy first? Or is it on record or what? Oh.
When you're requesting a lineal recognition, you have to know exactly who that is buried at that particular burial and the name of who that person is.
Kaakao is my tutu man's brother. My tutu man Kamakukama, the name on that is Kaakao. So I'm a collateral descent through Kamakukama, puts me as the lineal descent. Correct? Cindy? She's the attorney.
Okay, so it'd be up to the burial council to determine if you have sufficient information and facts to determine who the burial is. When you say collateral descent, I'm not quite clear what you mean by that.
Under the statute, it says lineal or collateral or lineal or lateral, right? Lateral is like a sibling or a brother, sister of a lineal. Like me, I'm a lineal of Kamakukama, a brother of Kaakao, you see? So I'm not a lineal of Kaakao, but I'm a lateral of Kaakao, because I come from his brother.
Okay, so you have to establish that you're,
that you have
a direct genealogical relation, connection to that burial. Is that what you're saying? I'm not quite clear. Is that what you're saying then?
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes.
So that would be up to the burial council to determine, one, who that burial is, and if you have sufficient information. The agenda title, I think, references this burial as being unidentified. Right, but also that if you do determine the identity of the burial, you would also have to determine that Mr. Alapai is related to that.
Correct.
Burial. Yes. That's what it is.
Yeah, I did that. It's on paper. That's why it's going to be pretty fast. Faster than the last one. So are we ready to vote? Or
are there any not the first, brother.
Okay, go ahead.
I have trying to figure this out. How did you, how did this all start? Okay, is this a barrel
that was
dug up or something?
Well, Ooma is my tutu man. That's my tutu man's land, lands of Kama. The whole Ooma 1-2, the airport, that's my tutu man's too. Where the United Airlines stay, that's my tutu man's house by the Lahala tree. and send, and we own all the way from the airport all the way down to Pohanaiki, all the way up. That's why it says all the lands up there is lands of Kama. And Ka'akau was the brother that turned over his portion to his brother.
My family come from there too.
Yeah, get Kahimura, get the Peng family.
Ka'umuloa, Kahimuloa.
Kahimuloa, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, if you can verify that this is your family bones, I have no problem approving it, you know. So that's all I have.
Gotcha.
Yes, Cliff?
I'd like to ask Mr. Alapai a question, if I can. Mr. Alapai, do you solemnly swear that the testimony you've given before this council is true, that you are in fact a lineal descendant by the council's definition of the signatory remains found in the site that we're talking about today?
Yes, according to what's presented to me. Perfect, yes.
That's good for me. So that's under perjury of law on that, he's already testified to be true. I'm totally satisfied for my particular vote. Thank you, Mr. Alapai.
Okay. Is there anyone else?
I get one more question.
Right,
brother, Mr. Alapai, when you was on Kiki, did you your father, your grandfather, did they take you to the graves to you know familiarize you and tell you, oh, this is your tuto man, and did that ever happen?
See, like in my family. Yeah, I'm a genealogist. To let everybody know right now, I'm a genealogist. It's what I do. And what has been taught is not what everybody else has been taught. I've been taught the old school, orally from the beginning, grandparents. Now, I don't get my information from books and stuff. Of course, now we do. But traditionally, that's how I was raised, because before the 1800s, never have documentation. That's why everything was passed down. And a lot of families, about maybe 80 or 90%, don't have the type of oral translations I've been procured. So it puts me separate from everybody else. But as for this portion, I'm a lineal descendant of Ooma, all that area. So I don't know. I just wanted to make it quick, you know. I put my genealogy. I tell you guys my Manao. I can spit my genealogy right now without even looking at the pipa. So I don't know what more you guys need.
Well, aloha, Waiola. I wanted to ask you, have you been to this particular burial, and has someone in your family taken you to this particular burial right here being mentioned in this agenda that has identified that person and their name and how you're related to them as a lineal descendant?
Okay. The newspaper came out, okay, to any relatives, right, to call, so and forth. I did the procedures, right? Had the tax map key, the royal patent, all that stuff. I say, hey, that's my tutu's brother. This is who I am. And here we are today. Like I said, like nobody can tell me, like, oh, were you there on this certain day, on that day? Did you see him getting buried? No, I'm telling you, like, I'm a lineal descendant of that area. That's all.
Well, I know that last month, usually it comes is we get a letter from Hinana Rodriguez, the chief of culture and history, that tells us that something has been vetted by Ship D and recommends how they should be accepted in their recognition. And we didn't get that letter this month that determines you as a lineal, but we have your letter from last month as a cultural. And I understand what you're saying because we're all Hawaiian and technically we're all lineal descendants to everybody. I totally get that, 100%. But I also know that we're cultural descendants to all the Ibi here too. And
but I'm not going for a cultural.
I know that. But right now I don't see the documents that we need to have a letter from.
Do you guys have a document that proves that I'm not a lineal descendant? Do you guys, can anybody prove to me that you guys have those documents? Do you guys have it? Do you guys know the person buried at that particular tax map fee? Anybody? Cindy? Burial Council?
The archaeologist called it
unidentified. The only thing with a lineal is this. Even if you're from that area, you know, it's culture. But for a lineal, the bones, the Ivy, that Ivy is, you know, are you related to that specific Ivy? Yeah. That's all we need to know.
And that's, I've been telling you guys.
You can give us information how you
relate I gave Chris. To the
Ivy, and we can approve.
I gave Chris the genealogy, because I gave everything. Like how the rules is. Why even show up to this meeting, right? If I already turned in my palo-palo. But I'm here today, going in front of the board, going through the process. And I'm telling you guys who I am, who I come from. So who you know, it should be plain and simple. It's not like I'm it's like you guys looking at me are like I'm trying to claim something that I'm not. I'm not here for money. I'm here for the protection of my family member. So
let me give you an example. Your ancestors Alapai is on Kona Lagoon.
Yeah.
They're fixing a Kona Lagoon. The Kona Lagoon, there's plenty down there. And the Alapai family claim that, you know, that's all the Ivy. But, you know, it probably is, but they cannot pinpoint. Like, they find one Ivy here, they find one Ivy 20, 30 feet away, but they cannot identify the Ivy. It's probably all this, but you got to identify the Ivy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah? They're all in the same place, but two different EV, two different identification. That's lineal descendancy means.
Okay, hold on. I went through the process. Uncle Clifford asked me, you know, do you swear? I went through the process. And I said, that's a Superman's brother, a cow. That should be power. Powering. Like, Uncle Clifford. Go, Uncle.
I want to apologize to Mr. Alapai for the Burial Council harassing this person coming before us to make the testimony. He's already sworn. We're not talking about something Kona Lagoon. That's irrelevant. He's speaking specifically to the site that he's petitioning for. And there's no one on this council that can refute what he's saying. He's already sworn under the penalty of law. We have counsel here to verify this testimony. I call that we just call for the vote and stop harassing this man.
There's no motion.
Make the motion that we call for the vote.
Call for the vote for what?
To accept Mr. Alapai as a lineal descendant on the issue that's on our agenda for this morning.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I second. He's an Alapai. I second the motion to accept Paul.
So we have a motion.
Yeah, I'll be Alapai as a lineal descendant. Let's go.
Is there any discussion?
Yeah, I have something to say. I mean, the last meeting, we had voted unanimously, and also Mr. Lapai had requested to be a cultural. He was unanimously passed as a cultural. So now we're bringing up this thing as a lineal.
Until
I wait. No, no, I'm talking. So that's why I'm questioning how we got from last meeting to this meeting, and now we're trying to decide if he's lineal when we just decided and agreed on that he was a cultural in the last meeting.
Until
that's my question.
Until that's why I opened, Uncle. That's why I came back to this session.
Can we call for the vote?
Uncle Desmond, we need a vote. It just went away. Uncle Des.
Roll call vote.
I wonder if we should just wait for a moment for Uncle Des to come back. Kaya, what do you think? Should we just call for the vote or wait for a moment for Des to come?
That's completely up to you.
What's that? Oof. Echo feedback. Well, any of the other, here he is. Okay. Uncle Des, we're going to call for the vote. All those in favor of recognizing Keavike Alapai as a lineal descendant to item B, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Oh, wait, aye. So we have three ayes?
Aye.
Three ayes.
It's easy all if you need a roll call vote. Okay. Norman Kaimoloa vote aye. Clifford Kapono vote aye. What else? Who else? Easier.
Aye.
Scott?
I vote nay.
Wayola? I can't hear you. You're muted. And I vote no, nay. So we have three nays and three ayes. What do you do in their split? I'm not sure.
No, you're not supposed to vote.
You need five. Okay, there's nine members, right? Yeah. I'm sorry. Kalena, do you have nine members? You do,
no.
Right? How many?
No.
How many members total on the board? You have nine, yeah? Total.
Seven. Yeah, do we have nine?
Seven.
I don't think so.
We have seven. Two vacancies.
Kale or Chris, what's the total membership of this? Of the Kauai Island Barracons is nine, yeah? Or is it?
Sorry. Right. We have nine seats, but they're not full.
You need a majority membership. Unless your membership is, membership was seven, three wouldn't be a majority. So the motion fails because it lacks a majority of your vote. Of the vote of the entire membership.
I have a question, Counselor. So Mr. Alapai's Second Amendment right to due process is being denied?
Well, the burial council took a vote. Let me just quickly go through your
You're muted. You're muted.
Give me just a minute to look at your rules on your voting.
I just want to add that we're governed by NAGPRA, federal statute. So Mr. Alapai comes under the U.S. Constitution. His rights are protected by that. And we cannot, as a council here, with no statutory influence at all, impede on Mr. Alapai's constitutional rights that he's guaranteed by.
Yes, Uncle
Des.
Pupuna Mary Paris has been on since 9:25, she's been texting me. She's having a hard time log on. She said the password doesn't work. So that's where I've been. So just wanted to add that to the conversation here this morning. So if Kea or Chris could help with that.
Desmond.
Yes.
Last month I had the same problem.
Elena, there's a question over there.
Oh. Talking to Almea. Desmond.
Yo.
Oh, wait. It's Kei Haolani. Do you have a question? Aloha.
Yes, I'm Kei Haolani. I was invited here by Clifford. And
wait, hang on.
And in this instance, I'm thinking because we have a quorum, I don't believe that the majority votes would need the majority of the entire council. Because when you have a quorum, you can have a meeting, and the majority of the quorum should be what considers. But just as a suggestion, as someone onlooking for the first time, maybe you guys can discuss why you voted nay or why you voted yay, so that maybe there can be a revote in some instance.
Well, I personally voted nay because I'm going by the letter of what we're instructed to go by, and that is a recommendation from Ship D, from their branch chief, Hinano. He will produce a document that says it's been vetted, and this person is either a cultural or a lineal, and they recommend that we receive them that way and recognize them that way. And I know that last month we did recognize Kiavi as a cultural, and we're here again the same month, I mean, the next month, but the same information or lack of information, so we can't confirm he knows who that Evie is, and it even says that it's an unidentified set of Evie. So he's not making claim that he knows who that Evie is. He didn't say my grandmother there, that was my uncle, we would visit my great 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 uncle, and she told me he was buried there, and every Thanksgiving we would go and visit his grave. And those are the people we recognize as lineal descendants. Otherwise I'm related to everybody on the whole island, you know, I'm a lineal to everybody, we're all lineals to everybody, and we're not doing that here.
You have to prove it. But Miss Blakemore, do you have your moku alhao?
Yes.
Yeah. How many lines did you finish? One line? Yeah? Yeah. Can you go back to what? Ahumanu or?
I can go back to my great great grandparents.
That's all? You cannot go back to the.
It doesn't really matter. I'm not the one that's trying to get
lineal. No, I'm trying to prove a point. That's what I'm saying. How can you then say you have your lineal descendants of everybody? And you can't even prove that you're a lineal descendant to anybody but your great-grandmother, see?
Yeah, so, well, you know, I mean, I know where my family owned land, and I know, you know, what land grants were given
to. But you cannot prove it.
That does not mean that any Ibi there are going to be my lineal descendants. They will definitely be cultural descendants to me. Yes?
We're in a voting process here. So we need to stick to that.
Yeah.
And here, the question here now just becomes, there's two points I want to make. Council is not dependent upon what Hinano Rodriguez says or doesn't say. We are recruited to be on this council based upon our background and our history. So if you need the dependency of someone else, then you shouldn't be voting. And if you can't vote based on a lack of information that you either understand or can't follow, you should rescind yourself in this process.
Right, correct.
So if we have the majority of people here today, the majority of people that are here today, if they are voting in favor of Mr. Alapai, that vote should carry. And for that vote not to carry, he has every right to contest this at a higher court and to understand that we are here under the federal rule of NAGPRA. So Shifty needs to get their stuff together and understand where they are on this vertical line of authority. So we've had that vote. If the process or whatever's accepted that the chair's vote cannot count, then by those that have voted, the majority has passed, and Mr. Alapai should be granted his request. And based upon his testimony, matter of fact, prima facie evidence, he is saying he understands and knows specifically, where we are understanding is by conjecture and assumption. So just in that, we should default, speaking to the preservation of all of our legal responsibilities. Because I want to remind everybody in this council, you personally are liable. Yeah, you think you're not, you're crazy. And confirm that with council. We're all liable. So we better follow the rules as they're set. And you can do whatever you want. But having now been informed, we should call for this vote and act upon as we voted for the majority. That's all I have to say.
Vice Chair, thank you. I looked at your statute and I was corrected by Kehalani. I think it was Kehalani. It is a majority of the members who are present. Your council is entitled to 9 members, so you need at least 5 present. You have 6 here, but you need a majority of the members present.
Can I say something?
I'm sorry, just a couple more points. This is not NAGPRA. You're not in NAGPRA. You're in your own mayoral council rules under chapter 13-300 that governs this process. It defines what a lineal descendant is. It also defines what a cultural descendant is. And so you are, Helena, absolutely correct, but you need to identification of the burial, and that's where I think Shifty's that matter greatly. And secondly, and I think I'm repeating myself, but you know, just to reiterate that they need to show that genealogical connection to that remains. And it's not that somebody can disprove that claim. It's actually there needs to be sufficient showing for the council to make that determination. So do you have that sufficient showing for your purposes?
Can I ask you, am I supposed to recuse myself from the vote? I had no. Can you answer that for me?
Well, if you're the chairman, you only vote when it has a tie.
Let's let our AG answer that question, Uncle. Thank you.
So you're not bound. That's a rule. That's a Robert's Rules of Evidence aspect. You're not bound by Robert's Rules of Evidence. Each council or commission, you know, does things a little differently in that respect. There's nothing that says you cannot vote.
Right. I want to interject here. We've accepted the Robert's Rules of Order as practice. Now, I've been on this council for almost 2 years. That's been the accepted practice. It's under the rule of common law. It now becomes the law by which we adhere to. So in that, Kalena, in this particular instance, could only vote if there's a tie. And given the majority of the people that did vote, we voted in favor of, we do not need the vote of the chair.
Well, you have 6 members present. So doing the math, you still need 4 in favor.
Well, if the chair, do the math. If the chair rescinds, we only have 5 people.
Still present. And so she's not present. She's at your meeting. So you have 6 members present. And so the majority is 4.
I hope your argument holds up in court, because what I sense is there's going to be a cause of action brought against this process. Is this Mr. Alipai's rights are being abused needlessly? This is the second time here with factual evidence, not speaking to conjecture or assumption, not speaking to the Robert's Rules of Order as a matter of fact. So personally, as a council member here, I find this to be under this English rule of brada ease. This is bullshit. Now we keep harassing these people that are coming forward. We wonder why people aren't coming before this council. We need to wise up and we start to need to take on the responsibility of why we're here and remember who you represent. This isn't about you and your person. It's about all the people you represent from that district that you're here for. So I'm getting tired of this stuff. We need to move on with this vote and stop harassing this man. That's all I got to say.
Well, we voted and it was a tie, so I'm really not sure what to do.
What is a tiebreaker?
Table it for next month.
What did you say? Ms. Young?
I'm sorry. So based on, I mean, the simple math of the fact is that the vote did not, the vote failed. You needed 4 and you got 3.
Okay. I'm going to go with what our AG is proposing.
I have a question. So does the law allow us to recuse ourselves? Or to abstain? So if one person abstains, it comes down to 5? Does the law allow that?
Hello?
I mean, we're going to speak about rules. I mentioned earlier about how to work in two kauhale.
I mean, you're still present, though, right? I mean,
members... Yeah, I understand that. But my question is, if a person recuses themselves, if one of these board members says, on a record, I recuse myself or I abstain from voting, does that change the number? That's my question.
Well, you're still present. And the other thing
is... You're answering my question. Is yes or no?
I think you would still be present. Therefore, you would still need the 4, yes. And you would definitely need the 5. So if 2 of you recused yourselves... The problem would be that you wouldn't have quorum, and that would be a different issue and problem.
And bear in mind, this decision comes from an abomination to the practice that I've witnessed for 2 years. So now we're going to introduce something completely new because it's not working in your favor. And yet we're under this democratic banner of democracy. Mr. Alapai's got a real good case moving forward. And I encourage you, Mr. Alapai, to...
I will.
You're right.
Okay, good. Let's move on then.
We have something from... Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just want to address that. You're saying your side. I don't have a side. I'm only advising the council on what their rules and the statutes say. There is no side for us. Our side is right. We are advising the council.
The council has refused. Not to be.
Kaolani, you have something you want to share?
Yeah, just one last thing. It sounds like this is already resolved. Once you get the papers from Shifty, then you'll say yay once they approve it. Cliff tabled it for next month. And does Keawe Alapai, does he have to appear next month, or can you just revote and say, I got the documents I needed. Here's a yay. We passed. Is that how to resolve this issue?
Uncle Norm?
I don't think we should table this. We had a vote. The AG kind of explained the process. And, you know, you, Mrs. Chairman, should call it like it is. Like the AG said, the vote failed. So you got to call them. Okay? It's on record. It failed.
I agree. Let's go.
All right.
It failed.
I'm going to say that this motion has failed. And if you would like to submit some more paperwork that draws you directly to the unidentified EV, that
I established that, but now I guess I have to go through the grievance process and fight my due process. So my right of Mr. Capone has been violated, and that'll be all. But thank you for your time. I sorry that I wasted your time. Have a nice day.
Thank you.
I'm kind of confused. The care and Chris, you have no documentation as far as to satisfy that. He said he's went through the process. So where's the? I mean, that's what you guys do, right? You guys verify that before he even comes here. I mean, this is his second ground. You folks haven't established that.
Yeah. So I.
That's 7 minutes.
Okay.
Sorry, can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So where we're at in this is we're not, from our point of view, he is connected to the names that he's talking about. He is a descendant to those names, but that's not what the issue was here. The issue was connecting him to that specific burial. You know, exactly. We don't know if that burial are those names he's talking about. You know, we have no disagreement that he's a descendant of the names he's bringing up, but we don't know that the names he's bringing up is that particular person who is buried there. That's why we couldn't write a recommendation for a lineal descendant, because based on our rules, that is the definition of that, that he would need to connect collaterally or directly to a specific identified remains. And so we know he's a descendant of, you know, his genealogy is fine. We know you're a descendant of these people, but we don't know that these people is the person that's buried. That's the EVN, you know, on the agenda item here.
Yeah, but part of the problem is that when they find Evie in a particular location, you can find 10 sets of bones within a half mile area. Every one of those findings is considered individual. But that doesn't match the Manawa and the thinking of the Po'ekahiko when they were buried in a certain area in the Ahupua'a. It was all related to them. So this becomes in conflict. And with respect to counsel, we said we're not on opposing sides. We're definitely on opposing sides. The fact that we've got to come before a foreign set of rules to justify who we are in our own land is division and separatism of the highest order. So to say that we are not separated here is not true. We are. The fact that every council member here is supposed to be a Kanaka Maoli, why? So when we sign off of it, we sign off representing the people that we're agents for. So we have this brother man over here that we represent. And for us to deny him, we're denying ourselves through what? It's got to be confusion, the state of confusion. It tries to dominate every Kanaka right here. So we better think again and think clearly as we vote. This isn't your personal idea. It's the people you represent. If you don't know what you're doing, you get off the council.
Last note. Can I have Shifty or the Bureau Council give you a notice in writing to say what was your guys' vote and why you guys disagreed? I need that in writing so I can take the next step, if that's possible. Is it possible?
Yeah.
Okay, sounds great. Okay, aloha. God bless. Yasupu.
Yasupu, kiawe. I have, okay, mahalo.
Mahalo.
That blood cell production is good. Call my Miss Chair. I wanna cut in line real quick.
Okay.
I have Miss Paris who's been online trying to get on. She's on the phone now. Auntie.
Yes.
Aloha. Yes. Say hi to everybody. Our happy medium right now.
Happy Kablea.
So this is, you know, so this is her face right now. It's my telephone, so I just want to, I know.
I can't get through, so I just wanted to say, and good morning, and my name is Kale Paris, and I'm a descendant, cultural descendant for my grandma, which is Kale Whittington. So I just wanted to introduce myself.
Yeah. So who's Auntie Mary Paris? He said Kale.
It's Mary Kale Paris. I'm real long. Mary, but don't.
Okay. Get all. Yeah. Tell you mo'opu na mahalo, and.
Okay.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Okay. I think it validates who you are, Auntie.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Okay. Love you, Auntie. Love my family. Yasuku. Awiho.
Mahalo, Uncle Des. Yes, Uncle Norm.
I just wanted to share with everybody that I went through the same experience as Auntie going through right now last month. I couldn't get you. I mean, 1 hour to get you. How I got you was I had to type everything on the Zoom meeting link and all that letters and the meeting ID and the passcode, and then she went through, you know. So you got to kind of start all over, reboot this this information. And it took me 1 hour, but, you know, just for more information for everybody, that's all.
Mahalo, Kalapi. Ms. Chair, we can yes, move on can, to...
Yes,
to
my can cousin, we move?
Yeah, to my cousin over here. Kiala yes, Mahele.
Let's go to item C, descendancy recognition and application of Dwayne P. Kiala Nahele Kiorovan, if I got that right, to skeletal remains interred at the Kiala Nahele family graves located at Waimea, Ahupua'a South Kohala District, Island of Hawaii, 36-5-011014. Information, discussion, determination. Whether to recognize the applicant as a lineal descendant to Native Hawaiian skeletal remains at the above location. The council may elect to go into executive session pursuant to HAR 13-300. The council may close a meeting whenever location or description of a Native Hawaiian burial site is under consideration. The chairperson, by concurrence of a majority of members present at the meeting, shall be authorized to require the public to leave the meeting while the confidential matter is being discussed, and reopen the meeting once the confidential matter is no longer being considered. Welcome, Dwayne.
Hey, aloha.
Hello, guys. I move to accept.
My uncle does.
He's my ohana. His papa was our kahu for Hokulea for years. Many years. So.
Who's that? What's the name?
Kelanahele. Kahu.
Who's on Hokulea? I'm curious. Who's your ohana on Hokulea? What crew?
Edward Kalanahele.
And what crew? What year?
The Blankenfels.
Oh, Bruce. Okay.
Also for Kalapana.
Dwayne, you want to just give us a backstory on the family graves in Waimea? Just what that is and who's there and.
Yeah. So you know, about a month ago, my auntie, my grand auntie, Michaela Aseho, maiden name Michaela Kialanahele, she's Kahu Ed's daughter. Kahu Ed is my grandpa's brother, and my grandpa's name is Duran Kialanahele. He called me because her health is, she just called me out of precaution because she's working with our family barrier and the landowner that surrounds our family plot. Our family plot and burial cemetery was passed down in trust. It's the Samuel Kealanahele Trust, who is my great-great-grandpa, and the landowner for the surrounding property is giving her a hard time about the way she is taking care of the burials, because she wanted to put cement down, you know, and kind of just make them pa'a. And so because she had that ongoing discussion with the landowner, she wanted to, and because her health, I think she's afraid that her health is dwindling. She wanted to ensure that if she did pass, heaven forbid, if that does happen, that there is still someone acknowledged as a lineal descendant. She's acknowledged as a lineal descendant, and I could carry on that work for her. So she shared with me her file. I haven't been to the burials, but she shared with me pictures. I know how I'm related to each person in the plot. There's 9 individuals all together. This is probably, they were all born late 1800s, but still buried within the 1900s. And so we were supposed to take a trip up there this past weekend to visit the graves so that I could have, I could ike maka, you know? Unfortunately, we weren't able to make it. My Kealanahele, my grandpa Duran, who's the father of my mom, Gina, he passed away this past week on Tuesday. And so we decided not to go on our trip. And I still wanted to, you know, plan a day where we look at the graves. Papa with us in spirit, yeah, because that was kind of like his visit back home, because he's from Waimea. The Kealana Hele family is from Waimea, Waipio, Kauai High. So sometime in the future, soon future, I'm definitely going to go up and visit the plots. But I did want to, you know, have this so that if, you know, anything does happen, just as a precaution, I am able to continue on Auntie Mickey's work.
Mahalo, Dean, and our condolences to the loss of your grandpa. Sadness. Thank you for sharing your story, and I totally love that you are taking this kuleana on. So basically, we need someone to make a motion to accept Dane as a lineal descendant.
A motion to accept Dane as a lineal descendant.
Second.
Any discussion?
Yeah, I'd like to ask a few questions. Is the graves in a cemetery?
No.
Do they have markers? You know, kind of, I think we should have talked about this last question before we vote, but either way, I would have voted yes anyway. But, you know, can you explain a little bit more where the graves are, you know, how, why you wanted lineal descendancy for these, if it is marked, and are you trying to protect development, or, you know, can I explain something? Give me a little bit more information.
So there's 9 individuals there. From what I understand, 2 of the the graves are marked with a headstone.
Where is this?
This is in Waimea, 2 properties down from the Mormon church on, I think it's, I forget what, right, Kapiolani Road?
Yeah.
Yeah, 2 parcels down from the Mormon church. Piece of land was given to the Sam guys because they were employees of the ranch. And so they were given places to bury their dead. And that parcel our family owns in trust. It's the Samuel Kealana Hele Trust. And I'm applying for lineal descendancy because Auntie's health is dwindling, and she's involved in an ongoing discussion with the surrounding landowner, and the surrounding landowner saying that the property, you know, giving her hard time for like access to the graves, and that they're that the property is actually smaller than Auntie Mickey believes it to be. Auntie Mickey wants to cement graves down so that they're you know, and you know, if anything comes of the surrounding property, there's no denying that within that area there are graves, and she wants to put the names. She knows every single person, and you know, she gave me that information as well. And I also now know all the people that are buried there, where they're buried. These charts were passed down in Ohana. We can pinpoint, given the square where each person is buried along the edges. And yeah, so that's the main thing. If Auntie were to pass, I'd carry on her work. Yeah.
Could you name the people around her? I mean, the guys that giving her trouble, her neighbors.
I looked up their property tax. I don't know the name offhand, but I can get that to you folks. I think it was Victoria Souza. That was it. Victoria Souza et al.
Mm. Yeah.
Uncle Des?
Yeah, I'm just trying to say it's good to, this has been a conversation with Auntie Mickey for a while. And, you know, she knows I'm on the council. I said, you know, I got to bring them to the table. So I'm glad to see my cousin Dana finally show up. It's a long process. And I'm glad that she gave it to you because, you know, he's the next generation in Oahu.
from Waimea to Kalapana all the way down to Tahiti. So I said this has been in a family discussion for Auntie Mickey for a while about that property. And Auntie Tusi too, you know, all those guys. So it's good to see you, boy.
Good to see you too.
I'm going to cut your hair.
Yeah. Maybe 10 years ago, I would have had long locks. So.
Hey, can I get one more question? One more question. The access, you mentioned access. Okay. Your neighbors denying you access?
Auntie Mickey shared with me that when she went, where usually there'd be a way for her to get to the property, that she, when she went this past time, wasn't able to open the gate because there was a lock. And yeah. So I spoke with her, asked her, you know, do you want me to enforce access? And she said, let me work with the landowner first. So right now she's communicating with the landowner. As far as access, I don't see any pressing, you know, matters that we have to address in terms of that. But if later on nothing comes of it, I think definitely that'll be a conversation to be had at that time. Right now, I think Auntie Mickey's handling it with Victoria. Yeah.
So the burials, there's no boundaries around, no fence, no buffer zone, nothing.
There is a fence.
So, you know, just to add to that, you know, the Sousa family, they're concerned it's a Hawaiian thing, yeah? So, you know, with Western thought, they think Kapolo and all this kind of stuff, yeah? So it's not like, they just not like see one development over there. They don't like see all the KIA protectors show up one day, I think. So Auntie Mickey, she's scared of Hawaii, yeah? So her process is really pono, really polole. So she's working on it because she wants just
no. Yeah.
Can I ask you a question? Can I ask you a question? Can Shifty help this person as far as, you know, designated access, the boundaries, the buffer zone? Can you know, like when we make a burial treatment plan, we have the buffer zones, and you know, we have to have access for the people. How can Shifty help this person, Kia?
I mean, at this time, there's not really too much we can do because the determination is not being necessitated. I think, like, if he was gonna be, or if somebody were looking for this kind of help in general, they would have to go seek, like, maybe legal help, you know. I don't know if maybe Cindy wants to correct me or add on, but yeah, you know, at this point where it's at, you know, until a burial treatment plan is necessitated, you know, there's not too much in terms of authority that we have over other people's property.
I have a comment. So yeah, Auntie Mickey knows that it's a huge thing to have her mo'opuna here. She feels she did a huge thing to allow him to be with us today. So let her play it out, because I know they're going to come back later on as far as what they're going to do with the burial site. So Auntie Mickey is going to handle that, give her time to do that, pull in on that with her. And then I'm pretty sure, in fact, I'm certain that Dana is going to come back again once that agreement is arrived with the owners. And then she wants to put a cap on it in a monument, or it's, you know, something signifying the family there. And that's what she really wants to do. And she just want to hold a man on this process and just be, just kia kua, yeah? So in answering to Uncle Norman's question, it's a big win for her that Dana is here today. So it's part of her process to get there, because she knows if anything happens, he gonna come back again. So he's gonna come back anyway, once it approval for, the Kuleana, yeah?
Yes, Cliff?
You're on top of this action.
Oh, yeah. This has been a conversation for a while. Okay, good. Even when I think Dana was in diapers, I think. It's been a concern with the family even before Tutu them, you know, when Hala about certain properties. Was Kahu always talked about that, you know, preserving these places, especially as where the Mo'okua'oha is really important. And, you know, like in the case of Kiavi, it's there, yeah, it's on the Palapala, it's in the Na'au, and it's in Oli, yeah, because the Kealanaihele, the Mo'okua'oha is embedded in Oli. It's, you know, passed down through oral history, yeah, so, yeah, I'm on this. I mean, you know, I can release now. I can, not okay, but I can, you know, slack him a little bit, because this boy is, he's a good boy. He's, unfortunately, he's a really good boy.
Shall we call for the vote?
Exactly. Yeah.
All those in favor of recognizing Dane Kealanaihele as a lineal descendant to item C in our agenda, all say aye.
All right.
Aye.
Any nays? The motion passes. Mahalo.
Thank you. Mahalo ya oko pakahi ea.
Oia. My poina, kelepona maya.
Kelepona.
Oia, parao api, parao api. Eh, yeah.
We ho kako.
Mahalo. So before we go on to our next item, D, does anybody want to take like a 5 minute break and stretch and run to the wherever you need to go? 5 minutes?
Second that.
Okay. Let's do that. 5 minutes, guys. Thank you.
And do my hair.
Yeah, good.
You want me to start?
Okay, let's just wait for a few more people to pop back in. Scott, maybe. We can go ahead and start. So item D is our next piece on the agenda. It's a draft burial treatment plan for site 50-10-74-24403. Features A, B, C, H, and site 2440, Hi'ona'a, Ahupua'aka'u District, Island of Hawaii, TMK 39-5-014-045 and 069. Information, discussion, determination, recommendation to whether to preserve in place or relocate the human skeletal remains in the above location. Recommendation to the State Historic Preservation Division whether to accept or not accept the above draft burial treatment plan. Welcome, Loke. Okay,
mahalo. Aloha mai kako e nā hoa makamaka e imi nei I kopono ka hana kupono ka maalama ana ina I kupuna. Aloha mai kako. I'm Nogelani Brandt. I'm with ASM Affiliates, an archaeological consulting firm based in Hilo. And I've been here a few times already for this particular burial treatment plan. It's been ongoing for about 11 months now. And so I think we're starting to get towards the, you know, hoping to wrap this work up soon. But I'm going to start with a little bit of background information about the sites, and then I'll discuss some of the preservation measures that were sort of decided and through consultation, and I'll talk more about that as well. So the current landowner, Ka'u Mahi LLC, is proposing to consolidate and resubdivide the 1,700 acre property in Ka'u into 29 lots. So an archaeological inventory survey was done on a portion of that property back in 2006 by Guerrero, and several sites were identified. And then ASM Affiliates went in a few years later and updated the archaeological inventory survey and surveyed the remaining portion of the Ka'u Mahi property. So as a result of the ASM's inventory survey, a total of 48 archaeological sites were identified, containing 179 feature components, and which included the 14 sites that were previously recorded by Guerrero et al. In 2006. So the two sites that's part of this burial treatment plan are sites 24403 and 24407. The sites that are confirmed burials are features A, B, C, and H of site 244403, which is the Mauka site, and then site 24407 is the kind of more Makai site. And so, let's see, in addition to the two confirmed burials, there were five other sites that were considered possible burial sites. And the reason being is there was no archaeological testing done to confirm the presence of human remains. Yeah. And so those sites are being protected under a preservation plan. And of course, the burial treatment plan is a type of preservation plan. So we prepared, you know, background information, and through the background information, we're able to identify names of families that had kuleana or were awarded land grants in the area. And so for these two particular burial sites, they're located on former land grants that, you know, were issued in the 1800s. And we were able to obtain documents that sort of trace the genealogy of the different ownerships from the person who was awarded the land grant to the succession before it was transferred over to the sugar company. And so all of those names were compiled, and we prepared public notices, which we put out back in January in our newspapers. And a copy of that is, those public notices are included in the burial treatment plan as an appendix for you to see. So you'll see all the names that are listed in there as well. There were a number of names identified. And so through that, we got quite a bit of response in terms of consultation, probably the most I've ever had to work with, which was wonderful, because sometimes we hardly get, you know, people to respond to these notices. And so I was able to conduct interviews with a bunch of the people. Some people came forward, but didn't follow up with, you know, trying to meet with me or things like that. So I gave them, you know, multiple opportunities to be able to give input for the burial treatment plan. And so what you see in terms of the consultation is just those people that made time to work with me and to let me document their mana'o and to give input on the burial treatment plan. And a number of the people actually was first time involved in something like this and came forward for cultural descendancy. Yeah, so most of those individuals, their names have been on the agenda in the past few months. So mahalo for you guys for working with them in that process as well. They're oftentimes very nervous and stuff, but so thank you guys. So to the proposed treatment option for these two burial sites, the Mauka one is, you know, platform style burials, and the Makai one is a lava tube. So we're dealing with two different types of, you know, burial styles. But the proposed treatment for both sites would be to preserve in place, and that was unanimous across the board with all the consulted parties. Everybody wanted the sites preserved in place. Some of the long-term permanent preservation measures that were discussed was to create a 50-foot buffer around the edge of the site. So a 50-foot buffer, there was discussion and sort of differing opinions on what the buffer would look like. You know, some people wanted fencing, other people wanted walls. And so there's sort of a, not really a clear agreement. But for the landowner, one of the concerns was, for a 50-foot buffer and a wall, the cost associated with being able to implement all of those things. And so we were suggesting here and recommending here in this burial treatment plan that a fence be put up. We didn't specify any details or anything like that, but have that as an option right now. Several of the consulted parties also requested to have signage at the sort of the entrance leading into the preservation area. And so I developed some really simple interpretive language. It's not set in stone, but just some ideas that could be considered for a sign that will be put on the entrance into the burial preserves. So for the both of them would put fencing around the site. That's the sort of recommendation right now. For the lava tube burial, the one that's for the Makai, it would it was unanimous across the board to not seal the lava tube openings, to keep it open as it is. People also suggested to clear, you know, they wanted vegetation cleared inside of the sites to minimize damage to the structural integrity of the sites. And so just some, you know, and all hand clearing, no mechanical clearing, no chemical clearing in the burial preserves. So short-term interim preservation measures would be to, for the landowner to install temporary fencing around the buffer where the fencing would eventually go up. And then do an awareness briefing with any of the workers, construction, fencing crew, or whatever in the future about the sensitive nature of the sites that they're working near. And then once those are, the short terms are implemented, then they would notify SHPD about, provide documentation that they implemented those measures. And same for the long-term preservation measures, they would be required to present in writing to SHPD, provide proof that they implemented all of that stuff. So access for lineal and cultural descendants, we would like to give access to, of course, the people who are recognized lineal and cultural descendants. And there's been some discussion that came up through my consultation about exactly this. And so I will continue on a little bit more, but I have Mr. Capelle here. He's listed as Tristan Fleming Nazara on the ID for our Zoom meeting. But his name is Kamana Capelle. So, but I'll hand it over to him in just a little bit. So, we're talking about access would be for linear and cultural descendants. We created a parking area where people would be able to pull off, like a small pull off area. There's a designated access route to the site for folks. They would be asked to give the landowner 24-hour notice or 48-hour notice before coming onto the property and things like that. So, but that's sort of in a nutshell some of the preservation measures that we're recommending for this particular site, or sites, I should say. But our discussion about, lineal and cultural descendants, and in through my consultation with Mr. Kamana, who actually is a caretaker for burial sites that are located just outside of the project area, but on the same land grant where site 24407 is located. So the Makai Lava Tube burial, he's actually a caretaker for some EV located just outside of the where the project area cuts across. Maybe I'll take, if there's any questions or anything, before I hand it over to Mr. Kamana. Uncle.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Question is the fence. Okay. I would like to see rock wall. Yeah. When you mentioned the cost, this guy get 2,000 acres. I don't know how many lots he's selling. You know, 2,000 acres, one fence, rock wall is a drop in a bucket. But what a rock wall will do would keep the invasive species out. If you put a fence, all those invasive species can go through the fence. Now, who is going to clear all the vegetation after this is approved? Nobody gonna clean it. But if you can keep the vegetation out by putting a rock wall, even if it's 2 feet high, it'll help, and it'll last for years and years after our lifetime, But I cannot see, this guy saying, oh, cost too much money. That's bullshit. That's bull. And if any of the other council members disagree with me, the hell with you. I don't think. You know,
my Kalamari.
So, that is my one question. The other question is, the lava tube. How big is that lava tube entry?
I believe the lava I think in the burial treatment plan, I have there's detailed measurements in there, so I'd have to, I don't remember offhand. Let's see.
The reason why I asked that is Hawaiian, like let me mention Maile Akutagawa. In her book, she wrote that the sun shall not shine on the Eevee. Okay? That is desecration. You know, it's a kapu. So I like to see it covered. I don't like to see the sun shine on the Eevee. No. So I don't know. We'll go back, talk to them, see if they can compromise or what, you know. That's all I have to say.
Can I respond?
You have any comment?
I'll respond back to the question about the lava tube burial. Right now, the Eevee are not, they're not directly below the opening. They're actually located further in the chamber, so they're not at the moment being exposed to any direct sunlight. So I don't know if that makes any difference.
Yes, Scott, you're muted.
Yeah, Lukilani, didn't you just say that unanimous on all the cultural descendants to keep their cave open?
Aye.
Okay.
Yes, Cliff?
Aloha, Lukilani. Is it possible to include in your burial plan an audit provision to ensure over this issue of fence versus wall, that in the event of any type of change to the current site be detrimental, that the landowner provide the necessary operating costs to ensure that the site remains in the same condition into perpetuity? And that would be a mandatory condition, this audit provision for compliance. Thank you.
Hey, Mahalo.
Anyone else have questions for Loke?
Yeah, I have a question. This burial treatment plan deals only with these two sites, right? So yeah, so almost in line with what Kapona just said, there should be some kind of preservation measures for a plan to extend past the possible burial sites in future for future owners, right?
Yes.
That's in line, right?
Yes. So what we decided was that whatever preservation measures we developed for these two known burial sites, those would be extended over into the possible burial sites.
Right, right. Okay. Thanks.
That way they're sort of being treated the same.
Okay.
I have a question.
Yes.
So when you guys did this survey, it was a huge parcel, and now they're subdividing it. What do we do, or how can we ensure that this BTP and preservation plan will be applied to the new owners? I don't know how they would know that there's burials that have with the BTP. So I'm just curious how you can address that.
So one of the things that sort of was mulling around in my head as well was, knowing that the 1,700 acres would be divided up, and we would end up with possibly 29 different owners, you know, and they're all basically going to have to deal with a section of either a burial treatment plan or a preservation plan in some way, shape, or form. And the lots sort of range in size from 1 acre up to, you know, several hundred acres. And so, trying to have foresight in how do we deal with something like that, because the current landowner is, you know, likely not the one that's going to be implementing some of these things, you know. And so, and we don't know how many years from now these lots are going to be, you know, sold or whose hands they're going to end up in. So one of the things that I was sort of discussing with some of my colleagues is maybe creating a a long-term collaborative consultation with any future landowner for this, so that, you know, when the time comes to implement some of the, you know, to implement all of these preservation measures, that the landowner would have to reconsult with the people that we reached out to, or any other descendants that comes forward from now until sometime in the future. So, yes, come on up.
Speaking to that specifically, if there's an audit provision that would be part of the total agreement to say that whoever comes into receipt of this land, wherever how they come into receipt of land, they're still liable for the present condition. As when leasehold land, the lessee has got to follow the condition of the lessor. And so that would solve this. And, you know, here's the thing that I think that we were all trying to avoid. It's just a lot of talk with no walk, right? So if we're just agreeing to have more consultation, you know, enough of the talking. We need to be more specific. There needs to be specific action that is a condition of the contract. So if they accept that, then there's a deal. If they don't, if they look to amend that, no can do. So there needs to be like an umbrella thing. I don't know if that happens, and I defer to counsel. What agency would be responsible for that provision? If that's in the permitting department or where, DLNR, whomever that might be, that we look to preserve the EV now and in the future, as is, which I understand the spirit and the purpose of the burial council, making it easier on everyone. So nobody's agreeing to do something that they don't agree to do. And I just wanted to just bring that forward for your consideration, Kilani. Thank you.
Yeah, I think some of the, you know, some of my concerns with that was for the descendants is their ability to, how do they sort of stay in the loop with being able to malama these, you know, these EV that are there in the future if it's just with this particular landowner? How do we ensure that there's some sort of system in place that they can continue to stay engaged with whatever's happening, whatever development may or may not happen there in the future? And just sort of ensuring that their voices are still being heard in that process, you know.
But, you know what I find really interesting is when our kupuna, yeah, they're in hala and they're put into their rituals of going into the canoe, into the cave. It's really ironic how we're in 2020 when we have you, Lokelani, working on this. It sounds like a legislative maneuvering or lobbying for changes in the laws for sale of our lands, that a new requirement comes into play, that you cannot just sell it without consultation from our kupuna or representatives of those of our kupuna, especially our Ivi kupuna. I just want to see it happening, you know, 50 years from now. And if the process through us or through your office or somehow, you know, unfortunately, you know, like I said earlier, we live in Tukauhali, eh? Two houses. So if you can, you know, you know what I'm getting at. Yeah, Loki. I mean, this is really important stuff, the work that you do. It's incredible. I mean, every time I read your stuff, it's like, I got to spend like a week, you know, just digesting all of that. And it's incredible. But how can we, you know, I mean, this is way off track, but how can we as a burial council appointed by the state, by the governor, move or lobby for changes in our laws? Mm-hmm. And this is, to me, this is the evidence right there that, you know, we here 2020, caring for our kupuna from the 1700s or beyond, how are we going to push this forward? I don't think this is just one particular case that we should focus on. If we have the authority or, you know, we have the movement or whatever you want to label this, I think if we have the position to lobby for changes in the laws, particularly for selling of our lands, mm-hmm. you know, I think It blows my mind. The work you're doing, okay, it's incredible.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I think Kalana, go ahead.
I just saw Kehao Lenny had her hand up. Maybe she wanted to add something.
Yeah, I would just maybe needed some clarity. I think it's hard when it comes to land issues because basically all land title is clouded and basically it's racketeering to sell our land is already a crime. So it's hard, I guess, to then legislate laws pertaining to our land because just the transactions in itself are criminal. But what I'm hearing from you is there are no requirements when there is a sort of a transaction in that sense that that requires someone to have any type of land audit of any grave sites whatsoever. That's not even written in a real estate law or anything. Is that what I'm hearing from looking on?
Yeah, I think it's more so with descendants. So a lot of times I've worked with descendants that have, you know, genealogical connections to a particular place. As the years pass, these people pass away and the connection is once again severed between these families, you know. And so, you know, if it is in their interest of the Ohana to maintain, you know, their kuleana to be able to access these sites and care for them, that we make that clear in these burial treatment plans that any future landowner be required to, you know, sort of consult with whomever that new landowner may be to ensure, and not only for just to keep good relationships, because really the descendants will have to be ultimately working with those landowners to access those sites and things. So I think in good faith, it's good to create those open dialogues, you know, right off the bat versus people, you know, people that don't do due diligence on properties that they're looking to purchase in Hawaii don't realize oftentimes what they're getting into.
Right, but it's almost contradictory because then it would be the family's land if they still had connection to it and it wouldn't be another land owner. But what I'm asking is within the real estate transaction law, there's nothing written in there to safeguard our iki. There's nothing written in there now.
I'm not familiar with real estate law in Hawaii, but you know, we do have, if that landowner decides to do certain grubbing or grading activities that will require permits, that's where it sort of triggers SHPD to sort of step in and or inform them that there are these certain obligations that they're required to meet. So it doesn't often happen up front at the transactional stage, but oftentimes later.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, Cliff.
This can happen at the transactional stage in the contract. The offer in the contract stipulates what they can and cannot do. So that would hold them liable for the property now and in the future.
Do we want to move forward with our agenda and make a determination about preserve in place?
I did want to ask first if I can make some space and hold some space for Mr. Kapele to share some mana'o, since he's one of the caretakers for some EB just outside of this Kaumahi property, and how sort of, you know, how he's dealing with these burials and sort of trying to navigate, you know, access to these sites. So I did want to just give him a little bit of time to share his mana'o.
That sounds great. Thank you.
Ready?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Aloha. I'm Mana Kapele. So my ancestry goes back to the Kauai district. And so you see names of my ancestors on royal patents to the land. And several of the royal patents, you know, end up in the Kaumahi project. And so roughly about 20 years ago, I was involved in a land issue with the plantation that was actually claiming adverse possession to one of the properties titled to my ancestor. The end result of that was that the decision went over to the
plantation for adverse possession, you know, things like that. But in the process of that, this is about 20 years ago, what was revealed to me that there were burials on these royal patent land titles. And so immediately I recognized, because this is the Hawaiian way, that if your kupuna show up in whatever way they're going to show up, you now have the kuleana responsibility, right? To malama what they're showing you, most of all to preserve what they've left in place for us to preserve. Yeah. And so there at the royal patent grant 1367 to Leoha'alulu, much of that royal patent is in the Waka'umahi project. A very small portion of that royal patent is just outside the boundary. And there on that location are several burials that we've been taking care of for over 20 years. I mean, quietly, because even my cousins who live in Kauai, they had no idea that the burials were there. And I was able to confirm that the burials were there by an 1887 map by Montserrat that showed there was a location of a tomb in that particular area. And so therefore I took on the kuleana, you know, of keeping an eye on it, making sure that it wasn't desecrated, you know. That's what, you know, and so it's led me to this point. I drove by about several months ago and I saw a sign on the road that says, you know, this project was taking place. And so I became involved. I was able to meet with Lohilani, and you know, I thank her for all of her work, and it's a pleasure working with her. And in the process, I found out that in the development there are two more burials at Mauka, but you have to always expect that in these developments there's going to be more burials that will be uncovered later, you know. And so because that's Ohana land, right? The responsibility of the kuleana is now even broader. You know, we don't only speak for one burial site; we speak for all the people that are buried on that, on the aina, because they're all related, right? And what they left for us, you know, unfortunately, because of the events that took place back in 1893, what was left for us was the rights that were preserved by legal documentation that was issued under the Hawaiian Kingdom. Okay, so. The difficulty that we deal with today is that we're dealing with cultural and lineal descendancy, and yet the legal documentation that was issued back in 1893 supersedes all of it, you know, and it's protected the rights of the Native Hawaiian. The problem has been we don't know that the documentation exists, you know, and so I think when we talk about the importance of possible landowners, right, they should also know the history of what's connected to the land, because if there are liabilities connected that are founded in law, the property owner needs to know what that is, you know? And so taking a step back to the burials themselves, okay? My mana'o was just like Uncle Norman, you know? When our ancestors were buried on that land, right? We need to come from their perspective of how to treat it. When they were buried and put they looked at the land in its natural state. If they were going to be buried in a cave, that's where you're going to be buried. If they're going to be buried on a platform, that's where they're buried. So my mana'o is that we respect their vision, their last will, their last wish, you know, of where they're going to be put to rest. And it's that is what we should perpetuate. You know, so we are modern day voice of our ancestors that went before us. And that's the way they should be treated. So I've shared my thoughts about using fencing for a buffer. I disagree with that. I agree with that a stone walled enclosure would be the best kind of solution for the situation. But my ultimate vision for the sites is that they should be left the way they are. What is unfortunate is that when we have new property owners coming in, you know, the fear is that they're not going to be treated. They're not going to treat the sites the way they should be treated. And so because of that, because of their difference in view and perspective of honoring the dead, you know, we may have to put up a buffer. You know what I'm saying? So we caught in the middle of this preserving what was our heritage and in dealing with new land ownership. And so how do we find that balance, you know? And so for me, and this is not pointed at any particular, you know, person. I respect everybody that's on the council. Look, Ilani, I know the difficulty that you have in doing this, but I appreciate what you do. But my final mana'o on that is that I'm not in support of, you know, of the development, you know. And I think it's important for me to say that because that best represents the last will and wish of my ancestor, you know. And so how do we get that message across to the developer of the property or to the people that eventually will be owners of parcels to that property? It's a challenge. But the responsibility and the liability already exists. You know, and that's what we're dealing with. And so this documentation is important for all of us to see. You know, from the county level to the state level through, you know, every agency of the state of Hawaii, it's important that they see, right, what has already been established. And if we want to see anything just or right or pono, then we need to follow the law, what the law has already established. And that way we can avoid assumptions or debates, you know, or even the things that we're dealing with presently on the council, because it is difficult. But there is a process that has already been established to the benefit of everyone. And that process has to do with accurate information, accurate knowledge of the history of Hawaii, right? And what was left to protect the Hawaiian people and their rights. And additionally, to protect the rights of foreigners who may not be of this culture, you know, to give them a clear evidence of what you're dealing with so that they can make choices based on knowledge, not based on assumptions. You know, and so that's basically my position. I've never made the effort to assign myself to cultural lineal descendant, you know, because that is part of the state process. But I adhere to what my kupuna has done. I adhere to the legal documentation that has existed since 1893. And I honor the royal patents and land titles that were granted to my tutu men. Many of the families in that area, stretching all the way to Kaua and to Punalu, they're all family, they're all related. The names are not the same, but if you ohana, you know that that's your family. So the difficulty is this, if I go and, you know, we're having this discussion of, can you connect to the grave to say that exactly, that's exactly the person? We cannot always do that. But we know that if they're buried on that royal patent land title, we know that it's family. You know, and so why couldn't that be legitimate enough for us to make a stand and to say, no, you cannot do that. You know, we're not being unfair. We're being fair. You know, it's just being misinterpreted as being a troublemaker. We're not. You know, so I think that's where we need to come from. So we need to understand the law, you know, so that we can avoid the difficulty, because it's interesting for me to sit in this setting and see how difficult it is for everyone involved, you know, and it shouldn't be that difficult. When you're looking at what is just and what is pono, it's easy. You know, the difficulty comes when things are confused, when we're not clear on our position. Well, what does the law say? You know, and so oftentimes, because we're not sure of what the law says, we're able to accept some opinion or some particular view. You know, and that is what's dangerous for all of us, you know. But we have a responsibility, I believe, as a descendant of my ancestors. And it goes back to Kalapana too. You know, some of my tutu men, tutu ladies, it was all raised over there too. So this is broad for me. It's not just one particular area. Uncle Damon says he was from Kalapana, so we probably related too. We just don't know that we're related. Orakele Ho'omalus and the Kamana girls, all from Kalapana, we all family. We don't see each other on a daily basis, but we all family. And we all have the same kuleana. We have the same responsibility to preserve what was left for us, which is our heritage. Yeah. And if we choose not to stand, yeah, to stand for our ancestors. If we are not a modern day voice for who they were, then who are we? You know, and that's a position we take. And it's a struggle. You know, we're dealing with, you know, I'm dealing with issues with Shibdi in a different location on the other side of the island, you know, because I understand it's difficult for Shibdi as well. Because they're not sure on some of the legal processes that have always existed, you know. But if we open ourselves to being willing to say, let's look at this more carefully, then we're going to be taking the right step. And so that's my invitation. You know, this is not a fault-finding effort, okay? You know, and I say that with all sincerity. But it is a fact-finding effort so that we can all come to terms with what we're dealing with. You know, and so I'm thankful for this opportunity. You know, again, I'm not here to claim cultural lineal descendancy. And if you guys need more information on what it is, what is the foundation of my position, I'm willing to share that wholeheartedly. You know, because I need to be the best representation of who my ancestors were. So.
I get one question. Only lineal descendant can say, or us as the Borough Council can give the approval to relocate the EV.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nobody else can. Only the lineal, not the culture, only lineal and us,
mm-hmm,
give a final say. If the lineal says you do not move the EV does not move. It's the difference between cultural and lineal. I would ask you to, you know, you said you're not going for cultural lineal. If you can prove lineal, brah, go do that. Because you have the power, okay? You have the power to stop any development, any owner. You can get 10 owners down in the years to come. Nobody can tell you nothing. They cannot touch the grave. Cannot touch the EV. Okay? So that is one protection. You shouldn't have to worry about that. But if you can go, you have the, as a lineal descendant, you have the maximum power and voice in anything pertaining to that EV. Yeah? As long as you can claim. So you see, you get a hard time, but no give up. Just find out, you know, if you can claim who is buried there, and, you know, get your cousins to verify that, you know, they visited this and this grave, this EV, down the line, and that'll lock it in.
Thank you, Uncle. But thank you. Mahalo for your mana'o. But from my perspective, you see, that's a limited... effort. Lineal descendancy is a provision of the state, yeah? These all fall under the state rules and guidelines,
right.
Culture and lineal descendancy. What I'm talking about is the rights of the Hawaiian people that supersede the rights of the state. That's what I'm talking about. And because of that, for that reason, I refuse to participate in a process, you know, that limits my right. Okay? I'm saying the rights that we have, and all of you have, but you just don't know it, supersede the rights or the provisions of the state, you know. And when we come to that place, then we're doing what we call pono in Hawaiian, right? But if what you're doing is just slight, a degree off, it's not pono. Pono is to be aligned. That's pono. That's what I'm asking, he said, and I'm hoping to convey the message is that I choose not to use the term cultural lineal descendancy, because it's a limiting term, right? They fall under the jurisdiction of Shibdi or state, you know, and that's the way it's been done for decades here in the islands. But the rights of my tutuman fall under the royal patent, right? And the rights of all of his extended family fall under the royal patent. If they're buried on that land, they're protected by the royal patent. You see, And even more so, the events of the Hawaiian Kingdom that took place, and the overthrow of the Hawaiian monarchy, right? When the Queen issued her protest, I think we all understand what that was, right? The protest, well, in fact, I'll just kind of, let me just hold up this, it's just a copy of this. Okay, so that protest, Aililokalani, by the grace of God, under the constitution of the Hawaiian Kingdom Queen, you know, that protest, I can actually cite the entire thing, and I will, since you guys have allowed me to have this opportunity. So it says like this, it's a public notice, right? It was announcing an emergency state that the country had entered into, yeah? And so she says, Aililokalani, by the grace of God, and under the constitution of the Hawaiian Kingdom Queen, do hereby solemnly protest against any and all acts done against myself and the constitutional government of the Hawaiian Kingdom by certain persons claiming to have established a provisional government for this kingdom. That I yield to the superior force of the United States of America, whose Minister Plenipotentiary, His Excellency John L. Stevens, has caused United States troops to be landed and declared that he would support the said provisional government. Now, and this is an important part we all need to come to terms with, now to avoid any collision of armed forces and perhaps the loss of life, I do under this protest and impelled by said force yield my authority until, important word, until such time as the government of the United States shall, upon the facts being presented to it, undo the action of its representative and reinstate me to the authority which I claim as the constitutional sovereign of the Hawaiian Islands. So this is the document that I'm speaking about. The rights of the Hawaiian people have been preserved since day one under this protest. This is official documentation, okay? And really what this document is actually, it was a treaty. And most of us don't understand it to be that. But it was a treaty, an international agreement between the United States of America and the Hawaiian Kingdom, right? To prevent any hostility, a hostility. Therefore, one country cannot claim what belongs to the other country, you see. And so this is solidified. This is documentation. It's even cited in the public law 103-150. President Clinton, back in 1893, he cites the very documentation of... 1993. He cites the very document, this protest, that secures the right of the Hawaiian people. So if we don't know that, then we don't know how to use it. But if we know it, what do we do with it? You see, we can use lesser laws and procedures to claim our rights, or we can use an absolute law, you know, and position ourselves there. And it's not only to protect the Hawaiian people, it's also to protect the American people, because that's what law does. You know, there's equanimity, right? And that's what the law should do. But when it's one-sided, then we're not going according to law. So the invitation is for all of us to become knowledgeable, to utilize the law so that we all benefit simultaneously, so that the Hawaiians can have free access to the lands and to the burials, to Malama. Not having to go through a process that provided by the state to say you have a right to do this because you're a lineal descendant, or you have a right to do that because you're a cultural descendant. Our rights supersede that. And that's what we all should know. And that's where we should be coming from. Because that's what establishes the rights for everyone involved, not just the Hawaiian, but the American as well. For those, right, who would believe that they're going to come to Hawaii and buy this property, they should know, because there is a liability, okay? And that's what this council should be knowledgeable about, you know? And so that's my mana, that's my position on the entire thing. And so I will continue to malama the graves. I will continue to be part of the process. I choose to do things in a very diplomatic way. You know, I'm grateful for all the work that is being done. But I'm also steadfast in maintaining my right to be the best representative of my ancestor, my kupuna. You know, because there will be people saying, no, he cannot go over there. He don't own the land. But you know, they don't own the iwi, right? right? There is no law that says that they own the Ivi. It's my koleana to Malamare Ivi. The question is, do you own the land rightfully, right? To be able to speak for the Ivi. Oftentimes, they don't, you know? And so, you know, that's my position. I'm thankful that this body has allowed me to speak my piece. Thank you, Lokilani, for all that you do. And I look forward to working with you further, you know? But I hope you understand what I've just shared. And that's why I'm not making the effort to say I'm a cultural lineal descendant, you know, because it is a limiting factor. It's a provision, you know, by the state, right? And it controls what we can do. I'm saying I make my stand under the laws established by the kingdom so that we can be free. So thank you for allowing me to share.
Mahalo. Thank you for sharing. I appreciate your point of view, and because I share it also, I just have to work within the system that I have in front of me, but I totally understand and have compassion for that same viewpoint. So mahalo nui for sharing with us. And, you know, we want to move back to get to what we were looking at on our agenda, which was to discuss the BTP. Thank you so much for your what you had to say, really. Okay. Yes, go ahead, Cliff.
Rada, I'd like to extend an invitation to you to join us on this council and get extra seats. So jump in a seat and oe.
Oh, mahalo. Mahalo. You know, I think it's, you know, because I'm a very, you know, I believe that we're from one human family. You know, the divisions and the separations that we see are only, you know, they're not real, you know, but we promote them for some reason, you know, when we should have find unification, you know, because we're all of the same human family, we do exactly the opposite. We allow the debates and the distractions and, you know, our, you know, whatever it is to get in the way, you know, of unifying our unification. And I think that's truly what Hawaii is all about. You know, it's a point in human history where people can come and unify over something that's real, something that's just, something that's aligned with nature, you know, because nature is our mother. Nature is the model from which all temporal laws, right, were established. You know, the laws of every nation state, or they attempt to model nature, you know? And if we follow nature, we succeed. If we disregard nature, we're gonna get trouble, you know? And so we gotta move back to that place of balance, you know? And that's the invitation. So thank you again.
So do any of our council members have anything they want to share about this BTP or any questions they want to ask Loke or more discussion on how we can move through this particular item? Yes, Loke?
I just have one more thing I wanted to state for the record is Mr. Capella's interview, he's had the opportunity to review and revise his the summary that I included. So the version that you folks have has been revised, and the revised version will be included in the final version of the BTP, but whatever other, you know, changes are requested.
Okay, thank you.
Got a question for Loke. The people on your contact list, they all got copies of this proposed draft.
Yeah, they all were sent a copy of the draft prior to me consulting with them.
Of this final, of this draft right here, the ones we're reading?
No, because everybody, you know, I was interviewing people over time, and so things were being developed slowly, but a lot of what they discussed ended up in the sort of final treatment options, with the exception of like the fence versus wall kind of thing, but I'd be happy to make that change as well. so I will send them the sort of more finalized draft.
Yeah, only because I spoke with a couple of them this morning before this meeting, and they had no idea this thing was coming up. So if you could just get that information to them so they can update themselves on the whole thing, that'd be great. Okay. Thank you.
I wanted to bring something up. We Waiola had to leave a little early, and also Uncle Des has a class to teach at 12:30, so we may be losing our quorum. I don't know, Loke, if you want to just table this for next month, and we can take more time to read the BTP and highlight any areas that stand out that we want to talk to you more about. What do you all think about this?
Yeah, I agree, especially when she says she got revisions and stuff. I really like to see all of that put out in front of us.
Yeah.
Just one comment. Because this focus is around the burial plan, hope that everybody understands that translates, and I defer to council for this definition. The burial plan translates to a mitigation plan. It's only one of alternative dispute resolutions. So Mr. Capelli doesn't have to really follow the mitigation plan if he sees in his manal, from his experience, a different type of option, and to bring that forward to the burial council. So it's my opinion that we're not limited to mitigation, that the constituency that we serve, it's our responsibility to advise them what the broader scale of their options are, so that we don't just simply become a mouthpiece for the state or SHPD or DLNR. That's all I wanted to say.
So we're going to table this? Is that again with looking
like? I'm asking because I think as we leave, I think we're going to have two members gone and we may be losing our quorum.
More so, we need Mr. Capelli on this council. He's going to leave. We're going to hang around.
Yes, Uncle.
There's five of us now. Huh?
I think we should table this because we don't have a quorum. But when she comes back next month, you know, I think she should be on the top of the agenda. You know, only fair for her because she's the last one on the agenda today, and then people had other things to do. So, you know, sorry you gotta come back looking on it. Not to look at your beautiful face, but you know, you gotta come back.
Yeah, can you put Loki on the first item on our agenda for next month? Okay.
I'll be happy to include any of those revisions that you folks suggested. I'll make changes to the permanent buffer type and update Mr. Capelli's interview, and then send the final or, you know, draft pre-final to all of the consulted parties.
All right. Thanks.
Awesome.
All right.
Okay, Lani, can you, if you're going to make changes, can you talk to your developer about that rock wall?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Tell him he will be very blessed in life by putting up that rock wall for buff.
And if there can be an inclusion of the audit provision.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Do we need a motion to, I'm sorry, go ahead, Mr. Capelli.
So Uncle Narmi, this is just one more idea from my ohana. Because my ohana was not so much for the rock wall, and he suggested would be a mound around the site would be most natural. You know, that's just another, it's just another thought.
Uncle, we can add that to your summary too. Yeah.
Just one concern I had about putting a mound over there is that you're talking heavy equipment though. So now you talk, when we go to the lava tube, we got problems with that. So that's my only concern. So if you can figure that out, that'd be great.
Yeah. Yeah, that was my my concern too, Uncle. But if we're 50 foot away, there's a 50 foot buffer, there might be enough room.
Oh, right. You're right.
Yeah.
Mahalo.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if we need to make a motion to table this for next month or no.
For record purposes, it probably is better if you have a motion to defer, but functionally it would be deferred anyway by lack of action.
Mm. Okay. Does anybody want to formalize it and make a motion to table this?
I move to move this to the next borough council meeting.
I second.
Thank you, Uncle Norm and Uncle Des. Can we just call for the vote?
Aye.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All those opposed?
Aye, aye.
Motion passes. Thank you guys for coming and staying so long through all of this, our agenda to get to this, only to come back again next month.
It's okay.
I like seeing your smiling face too, so I'm good with that also, Loki. Anyway, thank you very much. Go ahead.
Kalena.
Yeah.
Give Mr. Capelli's address so you can send him all the application for the burial council action.
Okay, Loki, can you give me Mr. Capelli's address? We're coming to get you. Thank you for coming here today and sharing your motto. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you so much. Thank you, Loki.
All right. Okay. I'll see you next time.
Aloha. Ahuiho.
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 All right. Let's see. Item D, discussion on Hawaii Island Burial Council membership roles and responsibilities. We always have that here. I'm feeling like we have a lot of people leaving and I have another meeting at work that's a big one that I have to attend. So if we have any topics.
Just real quick, Kea, were you able to get those names I sent you and cross-reference if any of those names are any burial sites within SHPD now? First question. Second question is there a database that includes all these names in various sites so that there's a database that we understand what families are being involved at any particular time or any particular type of situation that SHPD's involved with?
So I did write you an email
Thank you.
2 or 3 days ago, but I wasn't able to find anything based on our records. And so I do give a light explanation in the email, which kind of relates to your second question. We've created, what would you call it? A list of recognized descendants in the past. It's not fully comprehensive. I think it was last updated in 2007, maybe. Most of them were for the Hokulea descendants, though, because that one, I think there were hundreds and hundreds of descendants that came forward. The other way that we look for this, for people that have been previously recognized or just names in general, is we do have an internal database that we upload letters and stuff on. And so from the letters, we can see, you know, when people have written letters to us or when we write letters out to, you know, consulting firms or other agencies or even the descendants themselves, then we can just do a OCR search in these documents and it'll, you know, pop up any names that have been brought up before in various types of correspondence. And some surveys and BTPs, you know, we're still working on uploading all of those online. And then for descendants, when we look for previously recognized descendants and we look through or for families through that, what we'll do is go through old minutes and see who has been recognized in the past by using previous minutes. So to make it a short response, is there one comprehensive database that we can search for family names? No. But we do have a few resources that are just kind of scattered that we can find different names for different types of, or from different types of sources, I should say. Does that help?
Well, your hard work is much appreciated, brother, and the people in the community, speaking Hilo, we really mahalo all your effort and all your hard work. So mahalo pia.
Oh, thank you. Mahalo.
Yeah. Can we go to our last announcement of when our next meeting is going to be? Oh, wait, I didn't see you. Go ahead.
I just want to ask you if you can answer this question and follow up. In this meeting today, we had mentioned, Clifford Capone had mentioned about new members. We are allotted 9 members, yeah, on this council for the longest time. We have only 7 on board now. I know that we have plenty of guys that applied, you know, last year, the year before. And because of this COVID, you know, nothing is moving. I want to know why. I mean, COVID is COVID, but I don't know why we cannot go over that list and choose 2 more people, you know, because we're doing everything by Zoom. There's no contact, you know. There's a lot of good people that's applying, putting application, and they're just in limbo right now for about 2 years already. I don't see why they cannot be, you know, put on this board. Yeah. Maybe you can follow up for me, Kia, talk to Hinano, ask him, and maybe Hinano can give us an answer, you know, because I like to see 9 members. It'll be awesome. You know what I mean? It'll be really awesome. And if like what the situation we have right now, you know, 2 people gotta leave, you know, now we don't have quorum, that would eliminate that problem. You know what I mean? With 9 members, 2 leave, we still got 7, we still got quorum. Right now, in this exact moment, we don't have quorum. So I like to see, can you follow up for me, Kel?
Yeah, so I can follow up on that. And, you know, I have been asking kind of throughout the year too, because you remember that person, La, from hopefully, you know, the younger Wahine that's been jumping on every so often. She's been asking too about the status of her application. And so, you know, and I know the 2 offices that would be directly involved is the boards and commissions office, who sends out the nominations, and of course the legislature, who confirms the nominations. And so I'm not sure at which stage it's being held up. I don't know if it's being held up at boards and commissions, or if you know, the legislature is not processing, but yeah, I can reach out to Hinano again and see what.
Yeah, because you remember it was I showed you the paper from OHA that they approved one lady for Kohala to be on our board, but she never got you know, sworn in. I mean, sworn in is just a notarized application. That's all it is. What does COVID have to do with a sworn in? You know, touching a paper? Huh? I don't know. And then my friend Kalani Nakua, he's been waiting 1.5 years with law. You know what I mean? So there's people on that list right now. They're waiting. They want to serve. What is going on? You know, follow them through. Thank you.
Thanks, Uncle Norm. Okay, this is it. It's just us. Can we make our last announcement about our next meeting, HIBC meeting?
Yeah, sure.
He's got to go. Uncle Des has class to teach. Our next meeting will be... Oh, this is November 19th. When is our next meeting, Kea? The minutes say it's November 19th.
Yeah, you know, that was a mistake that I should have caught.
December 17th.
December 17th?
ninth year.
Yep. All right. Okay, great. Well, thank you everybody for showing up today. And Kehaulani, you stayed for our whole meeting. You want to introduce yourself and let us know who you are?
Yes, thank you. I'm Kehaulani. I was invited here by Clifford. And I guess I was just an onlooker throwing in some suggestions here and there. But if I can say something, it kind of goes along with Clifford's sentiment and Brother Capelli, I think his name was, just about our standing. And I think that's always going to be an issue. And if we look at the state as having jurisdiction over us, I don't think we're going to be able to achieve the things that we are setting out to do. If we see that we are Kanaka Maoli, this is our land, these are our ancestors, and when we protect their bones, they protect our land from being taken. So it's an exchange there. And what I wanted to say to Brother Capelli, I don't know if he left already or not, but there is a way to marry the two. He's afraid that he's going to lose his standing by joining the council or getting a cultural or lineal a designation. But I wanted to just explain to him, we all have that same conflict. We all have that same conflict of, we know we are in the kingdom, and we know that the kingdom law still applies. But we know that we have these oppressors that send their police officers after us if we don't do what they want. And I wanted to just share with him, I raised my hand, but I didn't want to prolong the meeting. But I have a passport. And it's it has a special number on it because I don't have, or the United States doesn't have jurisdiction over me with this passport. And therefore, I'm not bound by any of their laws. Do you understand? So it's something that he can do. And as Brother Norman was saying, oh, why don't you apply for it? It's not so much that he'll lose his standing as a member of the kingdom, but the people that are oppressing us will then recognize to leave him alone. So that's what my passport does. When the police pull me over, they have to let me go. They can't detain me because I'm not in their jurisdiction. But I do have to live in this world, in this society where we're under this power that has no legitimacy. So, yeah. So I wanted to share that with him so that he can come forward and get his lineal.
I'm sorry, I just got to cut you off really quick. You know, I just want to say that right now we're not officially in the meeting anymore because we've dropped down to two members. Okay. So I'm going to stop recording the minutes at this point because, you know, the meeting is just kind of, it came to a full end without an adjournment. But I mean, yeah, I just wanted to let you guys know that. So I'm going to stop recording the minutes because it's not a formal meeting anymore. But you guys can still talk.
Yeah, I just want to thank you, Kehaulani. I understand where you're coming from because I have a lot of